Hello, everyone. Welcome back into the Rebel Room. Ryan Green and Rob the Python Mish.
We don't need to do that anymore. I'm not even wearing the python boots.
No, once a python, always a python.
No, I don't
know. Well,
you sound very exuberant for someone who just witnessed or just went through that ordeal with me the last, what was that, 4 or 5 hours?
Okay, let's explain.
All of a sudden, your light turned on and the lights were on. Hey, what do you want, door number 3?
Because I've been falling asleep for the last 2 hours. All right.
That was fantastic.
Game starts at 2 o'clock Mountain Time. Our flight is out of Denver at 6.
6:03.
Luckily, Dave Hall does not show up. There's not just a butt ton of foul calls. Very quick game. Very few foul calls, actually.
26 fouls.
Game went fast. Air Force milked the clock like they were supposed to. UNLV played their game, milked the clock. Game went fast. We get out of there. We got in the car. What time was it? About 4:16. So flight is an hour away. Flight is an hour and 45 minutes away. We are an hour away from the airport. I have to return the rental car, all that jazz.
But it's not just, we're not just an hour and 45.
I'm just going to say it right now.
We're not just an hour and 45 minutes away. It's an hour drive.
That's what I'm saying. The flight is an hour and 45
minutes away. But people also need to understand that we have a rental car shop to get to. We have a rental shuttle to get to the airport. We have to get through security. We have a tram to get to. Oh, my God.
We got there on time.
I can't believe we made it.
That's all that matters. Should have gotten about 47 speeding tickets on the way to the airport. Didn't. Doesn't matter. It's over. People don't want to hear about it anymore. They want to hear about UNLV 59.
You don't want to scare Mama Green. Airfoot. She's listening to us right
now.
She
already knows.
Hi, Mom.
I'll call her and tell her. 59-30. We averaged about 92.4 miles per hour, by the way. But 59-38, UNLV defeats Air Force, keeps the Falcons winless in Mountain West play. More important, UNLV stays atop the Mountain West standings at 5-2 in the league. 17-4 overall.
They're on top of the league with San Diego State and Utah at 5-2.
San Diego State, who comes to town to the Thomas and Mack Center on Tuesday night at 7:30.
Greg Maddox night. He's going to get a jersey at halftime. It's going to be a big celebration of everything he's meant to Vegas and what Vegas means to him. It's going to be a real big night for him. He's going to have a lot of fun. And what he told me a couple weeks ago, I just hope they win.
Unfortunately for the Rebels, they're not needing to bounce back from anything. They didn't suffer another letdown on the road. Took care of business the way they had to. And just really quick, before we get into the meat of this thing, to run through some numbers, Joe Darger leads the way with 18 points. Kendall Wallace added 15 off the bench on 5 of 9 three-point shooting. Career high, 27 minutes for him. Wink Adams, 13 points, which matches his total point output from his previous 3 games at Air Force. Trevon Willis, 11 assists, 0 turnovers, giving him 25 assists to 2 turnovers in his last 4 games. We'll get into some more notes and numbers, but before we get to hearing what Coach and some of the players had to say, some initial thoughts after this one.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
How about that?
But you got something. Come on.
Wow. You go first.
Well, the guy who really stood out to me is Joe Darger, not because of the 18 points, but just everything that this guy's been doing as of late. It's a story that's been told a zillion times about how he plays a position that he's not quite big enough for, but he does such a good job of it. He's been attacking the boards so well in conference play, averaging 6.9 rebounds per game in Mountain West play compared to the 3.7 he was averaging before conference play started. 18 points, and that included 3 buckets from inside the three-point arc. Coming into today, he had 10 all season. So he's doing everything that's asked of him, because the big men again didn't play much. 13 combined minutes between Santee and Masamba. But again, those are not the guys you get in there that bust up a 2-3 zone. It's Joe Darger, it's Kendall Wallace, those kind of guys who bust up the zone. And just Darger really stood out to me.
Yeah, the way that Air Force plays defense really allowed him to do what he did last year down low and finagle away around their bigger players. We saw him right in the first play of the game. Rougeau launches an air ball. There's Darger to snatch it up, put it back in on the right side. So he made an impact right at the very get-go. And with Wink being able to shoot from outside, with Kendall Wallace's development on the outside, we're starting to see Wallace play a lot more with Wink. Mm-hmm. And on a grander scale, we're starting to see that no big surprise, UNLV is better when it's smaller. And so along those lines, you're going to have Wallace on the floor more with Wink. The only reason why that would be odd is because Wallace backs up Wink.
Yep.
But here they are. They're effective together with those guys on the outside. You're going to see Darger being allowed to maybe go down and do more dirty work.
And he's stepping up to the plate and doing it. They're asking him to do it. He's doing it.
And strong rebounds too.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Man rebounds. Yep. As we put it. Before we move deeper into this game, first Lon Kruger, Wink Adams, Kendall Wallace, Trevon Willis. Here were some of their comments following today's 59-38 Rebels victory at Clune Arena. In Colorado Springs, Colorado. Guys, take it away.
We wouldn't change a lot of what happened. I thought we got off to a decent start, then it was kind of nip and tuck there for a while, and then to go in making some shots late in the first half there, to go in by 10 was a big key to the game, and then came out and got off to a good start in the second half. So guys made a lot of good plays for each other. Trevon again really moving the ball and finding people and making good decisions, and then Joe Wink and Kendall stepping up there and making shots. Pretty good awareness, I thought. Pretty good focus. Air Force did a great job of just executing stuff and moving and cutting. And I thought our guys played their people right and played their drivers to drive. And shooters gave up a couple looks to Holland and Hinkie in the first half. But for the most part, guys played with good awareness. Great to see Kendall doing that. He's been making shots consistently for us. Played well, too, in other ways. So really good to see that. Stepped on there against Air Force with their matching and zoning. That other shooter on the floor was really helpful for us. Very important. Very important. I think your guys understand that we're approaching the midway point of the conference, and everyone's tough. And if you approach any of them with any other mindset, then you're probably going to be disappointed in the result.
Definitely good. You know, just like I said, you know, three ball really haven't been falling so good. So, you know, all the things we've been working on is just trying to get the mid-range jump and fall. And, you know, tonight it failed a couple of times. And, you know, I was able to get to the paint, you know, against a real compact defense and make plays. Definitely, you know, tonight, you know, he's moving around. Him and Joe did a great job moving. And, you know, me and Trey Jobs, you know, our whole thing was just to kind of, you know, try to get to the middle of the defense and make him collapse and make plays for Joe and Kendall, and you know, tonight Kendall and Joe, you know, shot the ball great. So you know, that big key to this win.
I think it was at the zone. I mean, you know, my eyes light up whenever another team is playing zone, and my teammates were really looking for me, driving, and defense collapsed, and then they kicked it out to me, and I was able to step in and just knock them down. I think we were, we were real patient offensively, and we didn't take too many tough shots, and we just kept moving the ball around, and we like to be aggressive, but. We knew that they were going to slow it down, so we knew that we need to get some good shots. So I think it depends on the team that you're playing, really.
I'm just feeling good. But, you know, that makes my job much easier, and I can get assists anytime my teammates are making shots down like that. And they were giving us wide open shots. And it's just a matter of I drove, penetrated a little bit, and they drew, and, you know, I just kicked, and, you know, shots was going down. Well, I don't know if I'm starting to dominate, but I know I'm figuring out how well or what I need to do to, you know, to play with my teammates. Like I said, tonight I didn't have to be as aggressive because, you know, my teammates are making shots. So all I did wanted to do was just draw one of them in and kick it. And that's what I did, and shots were falling. Oh, yeah, it's looking normal to me now, you know. Like I said, I'm feeling very comfortable, you know, feel like I can do anything on the court right now. And tonight is just one of them nights where I was just playing kind of reservative, if you want to be honest. My shots definitely weren't falling. I was over, but at the same time, my teammates were. So that's all I wanted to do, you know, draw one of them man and kick it.
All right. Well, there you heard it. Everyone sounding pretty upbeat after that one. Air Force, you know, just not the Air Force team that was around a couple years ago when they won the Mountain West 4 years ago. They went to the NCAA tournament 3 years ago. Not the same. And, you know, maybe the talent level is not there. We don't see them regularly enough to know all that. But
they're young. They're young, though.
But they do have one thing going for them, and that we did see today.
They possibly have the best sixth man in the league, in Joe Socha.
And you won't find his name on a roster.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no. He is a walk-on extraordinaire, if you want to call him that. Walk-on, close-off. Is that it? Joe Socha was behind the UNLV basket tonight.
Second half.
In the second half. And 2.5 minutes into the game, Trayvon Willis steps to the line, and there Joe goes taking off his clothes down to his skimpy little blue undies. He's gyrating, and he's dancing, and he's frolicking. Willis, unfazed, hits a free throw, but he misses the second.
And Oscar Belfield missed one later with the same, Socha whipping around. He did it for just about every free throw set.
It was Deshaun Mitchell.
But Belfield did too. I watched it.
I think you were watching Joe.
Don't tell me I'm wrong.
You are wrong. Let's cut right to the chase. You are wrong. And young man, I want you to open your ears next time I give you a score because you screwed that up tonight. I don't know. You probably put it across the blog. I said 61-43, and you. I don't know what you wrote down.
But you said 51-48.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you
did. No, I didn't. You wrote down. No, don't be.
I cleaned my ears this morning.
No, don't worry. You're wrong. You're dead wrong.
Well, we're going to move on because I was right.
Anyway, Joe Socha is a 22-year-old junior. He's majoring in humanities and philosophy. He's from Pittsburgh, and he has friends on the Air Force basketball team. And what he was doing was just trying to rev up interest, trying to stir up some attraction. And, you know, we saw a pretty moribund crowd there today. It was a very not a lot of enthusiasm. The people who were there were giving some good effort, but it's a small arena anyway. It's a bad team. Resembled a barn today. And you got to applaud him for his enthusiasm. That's our point.
Because there wasn't much else for Air Force fans to get up for. They only had 13 field goals. Two offensive rebounds stands out on the final box. That's the fewest UNLV has held an opponent to all season. The previous lowest five. Air Force only led the game once at 13-12. After that, it was Darger and Wallace just cannon threes. And after that, after they built that small lead, down 13-12, they built a small lead, never gave it up.
Well, you know, they were trailing. UNLV was trailing 13-12, and we were commenting about it in that previous minute leading up to Air Force taking the lead. They were standing around on the perimeter. It looked like 5-on-0. All five on the perimeter, nobody moving, passing it around, looking for something inside that wasn't there. So then there was a timeout. Next thing you know, Darger's in. Next thing you know, Wallace is in. Boom, boom. Darger hits a three. Wallace hits a three. And it's the beginning of the end for Air Force.
And it was really just more of the same the rest of the game. UNLV really never deviated from that. They had 48 shot attempts, and 30 of them were threes. I mean, the threes were falling at a decent enough clip, and they were giving them the looks. You might as well take it. It was very different, I guess, from the TCU game where they launched all those threes. This time, this was what was going to beat them, it seemed like.
Talent's a little different there, too.
Yeah.
But the big key that Darger told me is that Willis is driving, and you better pay attention to him. You better put some help on him, because if you don't, he'll take it all the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you do, well, that means Willis is a smart guy. That means someone's open somewhere, and he's going to find that guy. So Darger said that's the real key right now that they're playing with, that imbalance of, you know, you got to pick your poison. You got to cover yourself. Which way, you know, what do you want to do? So you know, they're really getting a great rhythm and a great chemistry right now.
And like we said, Willis, everything is revolving around that guy right now. 25 assists to 2 turnovers in their last 4 games. And, you know, we had a chance to talk to him for a little bit after the game. Everything's just, you know, he's got that good pace going and everything is slowing down for him. And the way he puts it, it feels normal right now. Everything feels normal to him.
Yeah. And that, you know what, we can't discount that either, because he's been banged up in the last week or 10 days. You know, he slid under the bus literally before the BYU game. In fact, they were leaving the hotel going to the game, and he slipped on ice, and his both shins just scraped up the front metal end of the first step. It was awful. He got help up, and as soon as he got help up, he hit the deck again. So you don't want to put ice around Trayvon Willis. So his legs, and especially the left one, was really dinged up. Well, then 2 days ago in practice, Rob Ketchum dove after a ball, took out his right knee, and so he's been wearing a sleeve on his right knee. So he's not exactly 100%, but also he's not about to be making any excuses either. And we saw him in a new pair of dogs tonight, or today, didn't we?
He busted out a classic pair of Jordan low tops. Those were pretty fresh. He said he wanted to do his part for Coaches versus Cancer, with which, of course, all the staff and coaches were wearing sneakers today on both sides. Everyone from head coach Lon Kruger to the trainers to media relations Andy Grossman, everyone wearing the sneakers today. Speaking of sneakers, Kendall Wallace
What did he tell you? That is a fantastic story, possibly the story of the day.
And, you know, we've been documenting the whole shoe thing with the players wearing the same colored shoes. Yep. And, you know, he came out and he was wearing white and gray Nikes, and we couldn't figure out why in the heck Kendall Wallace, of all people, would be going against the grain. Turns out, left the black Nikes in Vegas, didn't realize it until he was at the hotel this morning, had to borrow Scott Hoffman's secondary pair of shoes that he wore outside in the remains of the snow to the bus. He had to clean them up before the game. They were a size and a half smaller than what he normally wears. Did the little mangled fist to represent his toes and to tell what his toes looked like. And he said if he plays well in them, he's got to buy them from him. Scott Hoffman wants $100 for a pair of used dirty Nikes.
They're worth it.
Hopefully Kendall's been saving. Because he might need those.
They are worth it. You know, UNLV did something else today. It might be under the radar, but for the fourth time this season, they kept an opponent below 40% shooting in both halves. Quickly, tell me the other three games that occurred in.
I'm going to say Louisville.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say... That's gonna be a tough one. Louisville's one. Give me the other two.
Reno.
Okay.
And Texas Pan Am.
Okay.
So
Pan Am was gonna be my next guess. I will say that. Right. But Reno was not.
Right.
So
they've also done something else for the first time all season. Consecutive games with single digit turnovers. 9 today. 9 against Utah. And in fact, in 3 of their last 4 games, they have had single digits in turnovers. So you really, you know, we can look at the stats and just talk about them verbatim until we have diarrhea of the mouth and look at all kinds of different stuff. But there is some stuff that really stands out on a Lon Kruger team, and you need to circle turnovers 3 times because that is most important, that they cherish each possession, that they handle the rock, and... 3 of the last 4 games, they've been scintillating. And, of course, we've already talked about Willis's last 4. So everything is pretty coming together pretty well for them.
Well, does it stay together Tuesday night against San Diego State? Let's look ahead a little bit. The Aztecs come to town. They were winners today by 19 at Colorado State. So they took care of business on the road where they should have. Preliminary look, what are we thinking here?
Well, it's a veteran Aztec team. We've seen them play before. Of course, Billy White is a local guy, Las Vegas, went to Green Valley High. I still don't trust this team. I think this is a bigger game for San Diego than it is for UNLV. I still think San Diego State just plays too much like a pickup team, like it's Saturday afternoon at the park. And I think with the discipline that Vegas is showing that this should be, I'll say, a double-digit win for the Rebels.
Now answer this. As a proud Aztec alum, will you be wearing any Aztec gear under your shirt to the game at the MAC?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Can I ask you to lift up your shirt before the game to confirm this?
Yes.
All right. I will be doing that, by the way.
Okay.
All right. So whatever body paint you were going to bring, you might want to leave it at home.
I'm not even going there. I'm too tired to go there.
Okay. Well, any final comments before we bounce out from talking about Air Force today? 59-38. Once again, the Rebels victorious in Colorado Springs. Got anything?
I know there's something here. How about Scotty Hoffman scoring?
Yeah. Second three of his UNLV career. First since December of 06.
Wow. With his parents watching.
Yep. They made the trip from Hayes, Kansas, about a 4.5, 5-hour drive, and as soon as he walked out onto the court after being in the locker room after the game, you could hear the explosion while we were back there talking to players. There were a bunch of family and friends there to see that one.
Yeah, boy. You know what else stands out? How about this? Mr. Rene Rougeau had more turnovers today than combined points, assists, steals, and blocks. 3 turnovers, no points, no blocks, 1 assist, 1 steal. I don't think this game suited his his abilities very well at all. You know, he's a mid-range guy, and it was so clogged in the middle. It wasn't about to show off his
one shot of the game was UNLV's first shot attempt from the baseline, an air ball. Darger grabs it, puts it in off the glass. And you know what? It's a good sign, too, because remember, it was only probably about 3-4 weeks ago when we were talking about, as Rene Rougeau goes, this team goes. Today, scoreless, didn't have too much of an impact, but they still handled things. It shows that other guys are stepping up, namely the Kendall Wallaces and Trevon Willises of the world. Wink Adams is back to his old self, to where they don't need to rely on him so heavily.
Probably everything we've just talked about, you can put it in a funnel, and probably the biggest asset of this team is the fact that you can't rely. An opponent can't take out one or two things, you know? Okay, look what happens when Rougeau gives you nothing. They win by 20.
Kendall Wallace has 5.
So, I mean, granted, it's Air Force, but that's life, you know? You play who's on the schedule, and I think that's a real big asset, is the fact that you can't really just take out any one, two, maybe even three guys, you know? And Trayvon Willis is playing so well now, we have seen Belfield shine. So they have options upon options, and I think Mr. Von Kruger is sleeping well tonight.
And my final note, God, I hope Rocky Rutledge can get Oscar Belfield a new red uniform, because something happened in the laundry about 3 weeks ago, and I noticed it at the BYU game, but his red uniform top is so faded out. I'm noticing it more and more every road game. That thing is starting to turn pink.
Wow.
I hope they get him a new uniform.
We need to talk to Rocky.
Because that kid needs a new uniform. But anyway, for Rob Nisch, I'm Ryan Green. We will talk to you following Tuesday night's tilt at the MAC against San Diego State. Until then, take care.